Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. And as you may remember, the Seventh Ecumenical Council was a council that dealt with the question of icons and iconoclasm. There had arisen a heresy that was inspired by Islamic influence, actually, at that time, that icons were forbidden. And you had a couple of Byzantine emperors that bought into this heresy, all of which came from areas where there were great inroads by Islam. And so the church struggled with this for more than 100 years. But in the Seventh Ecumenical Council, the church condemned this as a heresy. And I've talked before about the second commandment and what it doesn't mean in terms of icons. But let me just go ahead and read the second commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." This commandment says, you shall not make them, you shall not bow to them, you shall not worship them. The translation in English of graven image is misleading in some respects, because people assume that means any kind of a carved image or a statue. Many Protestants apply that to any kind of image, even a flat painting like we have in our church. The Hebrew word pesel is only used in the Old Testament in reference to idols. In the Septuagint, when they translate that word, they translate it as idols. So it's saying you shall not make them, you shall not bow to them, you shall not worship them, idols. In a few chapters after this, God commanded the Israelites to make images of cherubim that were on the Ark of the Covenant, and there were embroidered cherubim that were in the tabernacle. And then later in the temple, they carved cherubim into the doors, and they painted cherubim on all the walls of the temple, and they even had cherubim on the various utensils that were in the temple. So basically, there were images everywhere in the temple, so clearly this commandment is not forbidding icons. I've talked about this before, and if you have not heard me talk about it, I would suggest you go to our website and go to the articles section, and there's an article, it's the very first one listed, called the Icon FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions, and that's all about our view of icons. But I want to talk today about what the second commandment actually does mean, not what it doesn't mean. There's obviously the obvious meaning, which would be to worship an image of a false deity. And I don't think that's a huge problem, at least among people who would be here today, although in our culture we have people who are embracing rank paganism, and so it's not like it's totally unheard of. And even having foods and sacrifice to idols is something that you sometimes encounter if you encounter some people who practice some of the Eastern religions in the United States. So it's not totally unheard of. But I want to talk more about some of the implications of this commandment that apply probably more to people who are Orthodox Christians. One thing is, it's unfortunate that I so often will hear an Orthodox Christian that will talk about things like astrology. What sign am I? What sign are you? Well, my sign is the sign of the cross. What's yours? That's what my response is. There's also people who will go to fortune tellers, people who will consult, tarot cards, and all kinds of other sorts of occultic practices, and yet they're nominally, at least, Orthodox Christians. Well, if you're an Orthodox Christian, you should be able to trust God with your future, and you have a whole Bible that you can read that will guide you on how you should live your life. And so there's no reason why you need to read your horoscope or go consult a fortune teller, because basically those things are demonic. Those things are not acceptable for Orthodox Christians. The church condemns them. And St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. So you just can't mix the two. So if you're involved in any of those things, you need to quit it and you need to repent. But another implication of this commandment, the fathers tell us, is as how it applies to bodily appetites and basically the various things that we do that we place above God. St. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 talks about those whose God is their belly. And in our culture, we certainly have people who that's a problem. I mean, they're placing their life revolves around their meals and also about entertainment, sex, pornography, what have you. And food, obviously, sex, entertainment, these are not things that are in and of themselves inherently evil. But when you place those things before God, then you are making them an idol. Your focus is on that. Your focus is on satisfying your own appetites rather than on serving God. Those things become a snare and lead you away from God. And God will not share his throne with those things. Also, riches. People will make becoming wealthy and their own wealth what they trust in. They're not trusting in God, they're trusting in their wealth, and that's their focus. Now, it's not wrong to be wealthy. As long as you're seeing that wealth as what God has entrusted to you, and you're using it to accomplish what God would have you do with it. But if you make that an end in and of itself, then it becomes an idol. And Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, and mammon is a word for wealth. Also, pride. When you make yourself into your own God and you're the center of your own universe, then that also is idolatry. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." So we as Christians should hate evil, specifically pride, and specifically pride when we see it in ourselves, not just looking at other people and saying, "Man, that person's prideful," because it's easy to see it in other people, but to see it in yourself is what we need to be focused on. The Apostle John says in his first epistle, chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." All idols, literal and figurative, are false, and they can't save you. They can't deliver you. They can't make you happy, ultimately. They don't deliver what they promise. They're vain, and they're passive. And if there's an idol in your life, what you need to do is you need to ask God to show you that and any other idols that you may have in your life and to tear those things down and ask God to give you the strength to do that. Because you can't have God and an idol because God is not going to share. He wants you 100%. And so if you prefer the idol to him, he's going to let you have the idol, but you're not going to have God. You have to choose between the two. So choose life. Choose to serve the Lord and not the things that are passing and cannot save.